Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
All right, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show underway. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351 if you want to join the conversation. Also via Twitter, at Culpepper. You can tweet to me. We'll take calls, tweets, and your comments after the Jaguars lose it in overtime. Marco's money player, I did not think that Maurice Jones-Drew would even be in the conversation for this when the day started, but I think he's got to be at least among the nominees for this thing this week, Marco.
He was a nominee, but when Blaine Gabbert came up big with that pass to Shorts, it sealed the deal. That guy is my money player for the game, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I certainly showed it in money time, too.
Yes, he did.
Getting it done. Then money-er time in overtime did not come through, but not entirely.
The strides, you know what I mean? You figure this is a huge step, I think, compared to last season. You're seeing a quarterback now that's playing the position the way it's supposed to be played. I think a little more things that could have happened with the miscues early in the game. We're talking about a whole different deal with this ball game.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more value, less price. Let's get you updated on some of the scores of games going on around the National Football League right now. Just three late games scheduled. Seattle and Arizona tied at three. John Skelton, the starting quarterback for Arizona and for Seattle. Another one of those rookie quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, getting the start, the former NC State Wolfpack and former Wisconsin Badger is getting the start today for the Seattle Seahawks. Matchup of this is an intriguing opening day matchup. San Francisco and Green Bay playing at Lambeau Field. And right out of the gate, Randy Moss makes an impact. A 14-yard touchdown catch, Moss from Alex Smith. It is 10-0, San Francisco leading at Green Bay right now.
Somebody got mossed.
And we'll see how Randy plays when he wants to play.
Hey.
Is that how it works? And in Tampa, several of the Buccaneers fans have gathered to watch this game, the only game blacked out in the National Football League in Week 1. Josh Freeman and Mike Williams on a 6-yard touchdown pass, and then Connor Barth with a field goal. 10-0. Tampa Bay leading Carolina early on in this one. Carolina without Jonathan Stewart, who is ruled out of this ball game, but they have been able to run the football, have not been able to run the football as a result. Minus 5 yards rushing so far in this ball game for Carolina. When you've got guys who can run the ball like the quarterback, Cam Newton, and D'Angelo Williams, both in negative yardage. Again, it's very early, still the second quarter, but 10-0 Tampa Bay leads that one tonight. It's Pittsburgh traveling 2 Mile High to take on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. How strange is that to sound to say? And Cincinnati at Baltimore tomorrow, followed by San Diego and Oakland, the dual Monday night games in the National Football League. Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, and single game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Your calls when we come back. You can also tweet to me if you like, at Culpepper. Jaguars lose it in overtime in Minnesota. Did today change your expectations for the year? We asked that question a bit during the preseason, but this is the regular season now, so your thoughts there. Also, would you have made those same coaching decisions that Mike Mularkey made? Would you have punted it away with 2 minutes to play? Would you have called for the shorter kick on the kickoff? How would you have handled that? And would you have gone for two? I think you have to. I think that's an easy one to say, as they did, and it worked. Jaguars losing in overtime 26-23. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. We're back right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Next week, Jaguars have the home opener, and want to remind everybody that there is a new feature for fans on the slate here. Looking forward to seeing this myself. It is the Seabest Cool Zone that's going to be opening next week. Just outside the south end zone, great place to cool off before the game, during the game, and after home games as well. You can watch the game, get a refreshment, and then when it goes from hot to cold in terms of the weather, it'll be a good place to warm up. So a great new addition to Everbank Field, the Seabest Cool Zone in the south end zone at Everbank Field. All right, injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. List of guys who went out at some point in the ballgame. Uche Nwaneri with an ankle, did wind up coming back in. Cameron Bradfield, no report on his injury, did not come back in. Evan Britton with an ankle, in and out, in and out, in and out, wound up not finishing the ballgame. Rashad Jennings with a knee. We think it's a knee, and then it was reported as a leg. Yes, the knee is part of the leg, so we'll see how that develops. And then De'Anthony Smith with a foot injury. Well, you talk about guys who can't seem to catch a break. De'Anthony Smith certainly falls into that category. Everything from the shin down with him has been a problem for him in his three seasons in the NFL, and this was his first regular season game. He's all fired up for it, and then another injury. So we'll keep you updated on those throughout the course of the week. Of course, tomorrow night it is the Mike Mularkey Show. Tuesday night, Jaguars reporters, and then Wednesday it's Jaguars This Week. That show will come to you from, I believe, are we good to go on that, Linda? Do we know? Latitude 30? Is that good to go? We believe it is Latitude 30 on Wednesday, but stay tuned for more information on that. All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Charles on the south side, who will lead us off here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Charles, how you doing?
All right, how you doing, Cole Coleman?
Hey there.
Hey, man, I've been calling the show almost 10 years now, and I tell you, every time we get the luck of the draw of Solomon Wilcox, something always weird happens.
This is your thing. Yeah, this is your thing. I know.
Yes, you remember me calling and telling me.
I do.
My phone's going to be missing an extra point, and with the center, Brad Meester, he's a veteran, and to me, he seems to always, sometime at some point in the season, have a bonehead play. You know, with exchange of center, and by
the way, I'm not sure whose fault that was on that. It's tough for me to tell. It looked like Meester maybe got it up to the fingers, but not all the way up to the palms, and Gabbert kind of pulled away quick too. I think that may be one of those things where they both had a hand in it.
Yeah, that was very bad timing. And then Evan Britton, he just could never stay healthy, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He said he was gonna be the nastiest and most violent, you know, in the league, and he can't even make the whole game. So overall, the offense is much improved. I have some concerns about the defense. Maybe when Darrell gets back, I don't trust Derek Cox at all because he's another fragile, you know, person right there. So overall, I got mixed emotions, you know, about the game. I think the decision that Mark Millar made was a lot better than Jack Del Rio would have made in this type of game. So that's it.
All right. Thank you for the call, Charles. Charles, who the curse of Solomon. Every time Solomon Wilcox calls a game with the Jaguars, he thinks something crazy is going to happen. You may be right. There have been a lot of crazy things that have happened with the Jaguars over the past several years, that's for sure. Yeah. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Lucas in Maryland, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lucas, how you doing?
However are you supposed to do after a loss, I guess. But a couple comments I'd like to make real quick. One, all the haters on Blaine Gabbert, you know, go ahead and take a quick look. Although we didn't win the game, that was kind of like a game-winning drive, and, you know, pretty good pass. Well, only Cecil Shorts could get it. But two, I thought, you know, we got this new staff, you know, new offensive coordinator, everything like that, and the play call was going to be so much better. But then you look. You got 4th and 3. You need 3 yards. It's not any time to be taking any kind of gambles or, you know, trying to catch anyone off guard or anything like that. Give the ball to Greg Jones or Mojo or a short pass to Blackman or something. And also on that note, I thought we targeted Laurent Robinson a little too much, and some of them balls need to go to Justin Blackman, because from what I've seen, Blackman's a far better receiver.
Well, but what did Robinson do that he shouldn't have? I mean, you know, let me clarify one thing here. This stat of targets, you know, how many times the guy has been targeted. Yeah, I think it's a useful stat when you start talking about how often a team throws to a guy. But in a passing play, 99% of the time, you're not targeting anybody. You're trying to get in his you target the guy who's open. It's not just going after one guy. It's just not the way it works. And so if Blaine Gabbert is locked in on one guy, okay, that may be in his back of his mind. He's thinking, this is the guy I'm going to be looking for. But you don't have a passing play where you send three or four, five guys out in the pattern and you're only going to try to throw it to one of them. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, when he comes to the line.
Yeah, but a lot of these plays are designed for, you know, the ball to go to certain players.
No, it's just
first
not
option.
First option, sure. But, I mean, that's just the flow of the thing. And listen, I may be alone in the universe in thinking this, but I saw enough out of LaRon Robinson on the practice fields. And I know it doesn't always translate, but the guy had 11 touchdowns last year in the National Football League. He's got the skills. He was not a guy who had put up big numbers in the preseason. I wasn't worried about that. Today he goes out there, has five catches for 66 yards. I don't think you can say that he's not a guy you can throw the football to, because he's shown in the NFL that he can be a guy who can make an impact. Now, that being said, yeah, I was surprised that Blackman only had three catches, but as you mentioned, Marco, Minnesota may have been keeping an eye on Blackman quite a bit. It's tough to tell from TV some of the sort of coverages that they were utilizing against the Jaguars passing game.
Yeah, you figure with all the blitzing that they were doing, when he came to the line of scrimmage, it was probably a decision he had to be made. That had to be made on exactly what was going to be progression and who it is that he's going to target. You know, so you may be, okay, yeah, Blackman was the first option, but now that I've gotten to the line of scrimmage and the way this coverage is looking and the things that they're about to do, I'm going to have to change this thing. And now, Mr. Robinson, you're going to be my target.
Again, and Lucas, thanks for the call from Maryland. The thing about targets, you know, we need to target somebody. No, you don't target anybody. You can say, yeah, I'd like to see him be more a part of the offense or work it into where he's a bigger thing. But Ron Robinson, this is not, somebody coming in with, no credentials whatsoever.
Well, Blaine targeted 10 different people.
Yeah, that's
true.
He spread it around.
10 different guys got a pass, and that goes to him making the right decision. I'm pretty sure when the play is brought in, there's option 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And just that quick, he has to go through all those options.
I think he actually targeted 12 guys, because there was one that was thrown in the direction of Mike Thomas, who didn't have a catch in the game. And then there was another one, I think, that Zach Potter was the intended target. So
that's what I'm saying. You got a list of guys that everyone that the balls were attempted to. And that's
okay,
what I'm
counting.
I'm actually including Thomas.
Okay, so you've got – again, 10 guys. To me – LaRon Robinson having too many balls thrown his way was not what cost the Jaguars the game today. In this order, here's what cost the Jaguars the game. Number one, the inability to keep the Vikings out of field goal range in the last 20 seconds of the game. Number two,
seconds.
Too many missed tackles, particularly on Harvin, but on a number of guys. And number three, the fact that Adrian Peterson apparently is superhuman. To come back this quickly from an ACL and do what he did today.
You got tweeted. I've been stand to be corrected as far as saying the missed field goal, but the missed extra point. I got to say that was a crucial point. That's that one point. That changes the whole game. I don't think that you'll got it. You have a different game with just that one play also.
I just don't think the missed extra point affected anything, because they went for two and got it. They would not have gone for two otherwise. So it winds up balancing out. The Jaguars – would have been up by three with it, would have been up by two, and then kicking the extra point to go up by three had they made the extra point earlier. So
I think the extra point came to bite them.
I don't think that had anything to do with it at all. I don't think it did. In the slight, what would they have done differently if they make the extra point earlier in the ball game? Then after Cecil Shorts gets the touchdown, aren't they going to go for the extra point again? They're up by two.
But it's still an extra point. There's still some more. The point is, they missed that point that could have been the reason why they won the game. They lost by three, but I think the outcome of the game would have changed. Now the urgency changes also for Minnesota and for Jacksonville.
No, it would have been exactly – again, I disagree with you. It would have been exactly the same, because they would have kicked the extra point the second time instead of going for two, and it would have been 23-20 still, same score, and then the same thing would have happened at the end. Now, the thing that you talk about, missed opportunities –
The touchdown to Justin
Blackman that they missed connections on, that was a major issue.
I think that second half, the end of the first half also was a big deal. You took 30 seconds and didn't try to at least get a field goal. They took 14 seconds and ended up getting 3 points and went, but I say they went 32 yards. The Jags needed 49 to get to about the 35.
For a long field goal,
they had 37 seconds to get 49 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly could have done it. I mean, that's Again, and you're talking at the end of the first half after the Jaguars had had a spate of injuries on the offensive line.
No, it was no attempt to even try to get that.
Yeah, I think probably the idea was, hey, they're leading. Offensive line has just been raked over the coals with injuries. Let's go in. Let's rest up. Let's get people as healthy as you can in 12 minutes or whatever it is and turn things around and get them back out there. I don't disagree with you. I'm thinking, kind of think this is probably what's going through Mike Mularkey's mind. Here's a – I don't know if this is a serious tweet or not, somebody sent in. True or false, the poor O-line is entirely Gene Smith's fault for drafting a punter in round three instead of depth on an already thin offensive line.
I thought they had a pretty good crew of guys throughout the preseason that were doing a good job. The offensive line was not the problem today. That was not a problem at all. I mean, Blaine, what, was two sacks, what I really wouldn't contribute, one, they were blitzing him. I mean, they were bringing guys. And one of the sacks, you figure a lot of pressure came because the backs and the tight ends trying to help out, knock guys off of some of the blocks. I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job. You're still talking about 113 yards rushing. I mean, that's contributed also to the offensive line.
And there's a lot of heat coming in on Twitter for Guy Wimper at right tackle. I'm going to tell you this. You are not going to find in the third round a guy who's going to start at offensive tackle on day one in the National Football League. You might find an interior guy, a guard or center. You can even find those guys, you know, later in the draft or, you know, undrafted. But tackles, you just don't find tackles who are going to be ready day one that late in the draft. It doesn't happen.
Well, Wimper's, you know, he had experience from last season, which I thought he was pretty solid last year. You know, he came in, but I'm going to have to say number 96 was given, you know, even before Bradfield went out, he was getting the business handed to him also. Yep. 96 had a pretty good game. It didn't matter which one of those guys were out there. He was more dominant than what we had at the right tackle position.
And remember, just as a point of reference for history, when the draft rolled around in April, the Jaguars expected Evan Britton to be their right tackle, Cameron Bradfield to be the backup, and Wimper to be a guy who would have to fight to make the team.
Get Rackley out.
But then Rackley got injured. You had to move Evan over. The whole dynamic of things certainly changed as far as the draft is concerned. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to A.J. in Brunswick, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. A.J., how you doing?
I'm doing well, but I'm a little sad. This is kind of embarrassing today to be losing like this. Coach, new owner, same results. And to play today with Gabbert, I look at with all the quarterbacks and his same draft class, we've lost to Dalton, we've lost to Ponder, and we lost to Cam Newton.
Watching the game today, which quarterback do you think played better, Gabbert or Ponder?
I say Ponder when it counted.
All right. See, to me, the difference maker on the offense was number one was Harvin.
Percy Harvin.
No doubt about it. Now, Ponder had good numbers today. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from him. Didn't throw a touchdown pass. Didn't throw an interception. I think Ponder is going to be a pretty good quarterback. But to me, I mean, this story is not over yet. I mean, you know, the Gabbert story is certainly. I think you'd have to say, AJ, based on what you saw last year and what you saw today, Gabbert's better today than he was last year, right?
Yes, that's correct, but he's not better than Ponder or Dalton, and we're yet to see if he's better than Locker. And that if we lose to Locker this year, then we got the worst quarterback in the draft last year.
No, I don't know I don't really follow your logic on that. First of all, it's not a one-on-one game, quarterback versus quarterback. You are correct about losing games to teams that have quarterbacks from that draft, but, you know, it sounds like you've already made up your mind that you're looking for reasons not to like Gabbert. Is that right?
That's correct. I try to support him, but seeing the other quarterbacks in his same draft class winning games that we're losing is pretty upsetting.
But was this Gabbert's fault today?
Get that pass to Blackman. We wouldn't be in overtime.
Okay, I'm not saying he played a perfect game. Was this Gabbert's fault today? If he doesn't make that pass to Cecil Short, you're not going to overtime.
We made a better pass to Ron.
I mean, again, my point is this. Blaine Gabbert is not a finished product. No doubt about it. Is he better now than he was last year? Clearly. Is he still 22 years old? Yes. You know, this is a young kid. You know, let's not jump to conclusions about, you know, good draft pick, bad draft pick. This is clearly an incomplete grade.
14 seconds. Defense hold him for 14 seconds.
Yes.
14 seconds.
Agreed.
Yeah. Game's over.
Yeah.
14 seconds.
Just keep them.
Just don't allow them to get one first down.
Just keep them away from, you know, keep them on that side of the 50-yard line. AJ, thanks for the call. I mean, I know that fans are disappointed and should be after a loss. I mean, this was a very disappointing game.
I mean, yeah, you know, you figure when you're playing a game, you know, during the course of 60 minutes, it's going to be highs and lows. And on both sides of the ball, mistakes are going to be making and plays are going to be made. You're going to look at the majority of these games are always going to come down to the fourth quarter, the last few minutes, who's going to make the last play. The Jaguars in regulation actually did that. But then come the I'll take that back, Minnesota did with that field goal.
It looked like the Jaguars
were going to. Exactly, and that's what it came down to. You know, if the defense just could have held those guys, it's 14 seconds, man.
Just a few more
14,
seconds.
Just a few more seconds.
All right, Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. This portion of the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. More of your calls when we come back at 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you want to get it in via the Twitterverse. Back with more after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, bold, and sliced meats basket for $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get back to some calls here. Let's go to Lee on the west side, who's up on the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show. Lee, how are you?
Well, good afternoon to the spin doctor and the straight shooter,
my favorite
post-game personality.
What's going on, Lee?
And I did have to ask this. Did the Academy Award for impersonating a team that wanted Tim Tebow ever show up there at one stage of play? That was a masterful performance.
Well, you know, got to keep some folks happy, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say I was greatly encouraged by what I saw today. Last year, this game would have been 16-13 Jaguar loss, and everybody would been going, ugh. We saw a lot to be hopeful about on the offensive side. Granted, defense slipped a bit. It's understandable with the starters who were missing, but you know, I'm encouraged, and I know it's a tougher schedule this year. I think we're really up against it with the Texans next week. We got to win. We got to win that game, or we're in a real hole for the season at 0-2. But I'm encouraged, and I'm going to give them kudos for what the offense did today.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year, when you look at games, you go win loss, whatever else. I had them winning this one. If Ed Rocco, who's our producer here on this show, walks in every day, every Sunday, and only has one question for Marco and one question for me. Actually, he has two questions. One, where's lunch? And two, win or lose. And we both thought the Jaguars would win this one.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think we were all hopeful that this had to be a win because we didn't think, Adrian Peterson would look as good as he looked today.
Well, I'll tell you, that kid is something special. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's been a great running back, you know, for life. He was one of these guys who was, a sophomore in high school, people are talking, watch out for this guy.
Then in Oklahoma,
you're right, very similar. I mean, this guy's been on the radar for a long time and has endured through a lot of injuries and, boy, to come back that quickly and he's clearly not 100%, but 87.4% Adrian Peterson's pretty darn good.
That's for sure.
So how in the world do we beat the Texans next week and not let this season get away right at the start? And I'll take it off the air.
All right, thank you for the call, Lee.
I'll just say, taking advantage of all the opportunities. You know, we differ as it pertains to the extra point. Mm-hmm. I think you make that. You got to make that.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm just saying, I don't think it.
Yeah, you got to make those. You know, the overthrow to a wide open Blackman. You got to connect on those things. See, now you're going to be playing a team that's not going to allow. They're going to kill you for making those mistakes. You were fortunate in playing a team that doesn't have the ability to really make it hurt you, like you will with the Texans. That's for sure.
The Texans are one of the best teams in the NFL. So this is a huge test. There's no doubt. How is it going? How do you do it? Here's how I build the formula. Number one, you get Derek Cox back on the field. You get Darryl Smith back on the field. You have your healthy guy, you know, anybody who can play on the offensive line, stay on the field the whole time so you don't have to worry about depth there. And then I would expect Maurice Jones-Drew will be more acquainted with the offense next week than he was today, right?
Yeah.
Rashad Jennings, you'd like him to be healthy, you'd hope. And then the other thing is, you know, you got to stop Arian Foster, or at least control him, because that's the guy who's really the key. If Arian Foster gets going, and that goes to tackling, you got to tackle the guy. If you don't tackle him, it could be a long day.
Yeah, defense has got to play better. And they're going to have to be a lot better than what they were today against a Texans offense that's very potent.
I don't know if we've been on the record, big picture for the season. We may have chatted about it a little bit in the tailgate show. What do you expect, and what are you looking for this season?
Like I said, just improvement, to be a better team.
And I know, that's what you keep saying. Yeah, but what do you think this – is it a 7-win team? Is it an 8-win team? Is it a 2-win team?
I had right there between 6 and 7 wins.
Yeah.
You know, I think a game like against the Texans coming home, you know, you may say, okay, the Texans is a big, bad team. But when you're playing teams within your division – that's when you get the biggest surprises as far as wins and losses, because these teams are familiar with one another. There's no, you know, some other teams may be in a little bit of awe. I want to say awe, but, you know, have more respect for the Texans than what the Jags, because there are guys on this team that have had a lot of success. Maurice Jones-Drew has had some great games against the Texans. You know, Mincy, I mean, these guys that are on this team that feel confident, actually, about playing the Texans and playing them at home. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Jags won this game, which, again, everybody's going to pick them to lose. But I don't think that's too far-fetched to believe that they could win this football game against them, against, you know, all the divisional teams. Those are all going to be tough games, close games, that who makes the last mistake is going to end up winning those games.
Yeah, and in, you know, the three areas that I want to see quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, do well in, to see that they're taking the next step. I mentioned this. Third down, red zone, and when the game's on the line. And we certainly saw a better play in all of those categories today from Blaine Gabbert in that regard. And I'm just looking at some of the efficiencies. Jaguars on third down, 9 of 18. You know what the Vikings were on third down? 2 of 10.
2 of 10. The defense did get getting off the field on third down.
They got the job
done.
Or
they just didn't have that many.
red zone, 1 of 3. So they should have been 2 out of 3. Again, had the open man in Justin Blackmon early on. That's one of those plays you say, well, that's certainly a big part of the ball game. But, again, did make a big play late. So, not a finished product. This is not, hey, he's arrived. But after what we saw last year, you have to feel better about Gabbert right now after one game in the regular season.
Yeah, like I said earlier, this is a team I see ascending. As the season goes on, I believe they're going to get better and better.
All right, let's go to Mike in Riverside. Mike, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
I'm good, Cole. Thanks. Welcome back to you and Marco. I enjoy the post-game analysis all the time. I got a comment and then a question. One is, nobody's brought up play calling, but I tell you, this is the best. Even though they don't always work, at least we had some misdirection. We had, you know, we were playing a club that made a lot of O-lines look really bad last year.
Yeah, led the league in sacks.
Balance, quick hitters, misdirection. We didn't have any of that last year.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Mike. And not only misdirection, but also – you know, shifts and formation and
personnel groupings, just a lot. I mean, five wide.
It looks like an offense that somebody's put some real thought into, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's trying.
Like everybody in the stadium didn't know what was going to happen, because last year, you know, you'd see certain sets and you knew Mojo was getting the ball. I mean, there was no doubt about it.
Last year was just an absolute quagmire of a mess in terms of offensive coaching. And it doesn't mean that every single guy who was here last year with the offensive staff is a bad coach. Maybe some of them were in over their heads, but there was not enough effort put forth in that offense last year, in the slightest.
Well,
and you're seeing that this year that you've got a bunch of four guys in that offensive staff who've been offensive coordinators one time or another, four or five guys. So you've got some real offensive brain power in there, and I think you saw some of it today.
Yeah, well, then maybe the brain power wasn't there. I'm not sure what's better, and you guys tell me what's better. When we're doing the kick at the end of the game, and we know we got a guy that can put it deep, and we know most likely the Texans are worried about time, because I think it was 20 seconds, and that clock doesn't go unless somebody brings it out, right? So is it better to get the ball 20 seconds at the 20 or 14 seconds, giving them 11 more yards, which is what we did?
No, I despise the little in-between squid
kick. I hate those short kicks.
Unless there's like less than 5 seconds to go, and you're going to hit a squib kick, and somebody's going to bounce around, and then either they're going to fall on it right there, they're going to have to throw it 70 or 65, 70 yards in one play, or they're going to try to run it, and that's going to be it. That's the only time I would hit that in-between kick. I just don't think it works other than that.
We would have made them have one more play, one more chance to screw up, one more time to maybe get a guy in bounds and keep the clock running.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was yelling at that TV
when I saw
that short clip.
I'm with you on that. Yep. Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Greg and Green Cove is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Greg, how you doing?
Great.
Greg, turn down that radio for me, buddy.
Greg.
I sound good, though, in the background, don't I?
Greg. I wanted to hear myself. Greg!
All right, Greg, are you with us?
I don't think so.
I'm going to put him back on hold. Linda, read him the riot act. Don't let him off easy. And let's go to Jerry on the south side. Jerry, you're up. How you doing, Jerry?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I want to go back a few callers. AJ that said something that was saying Blaine Gabbert was a bad quarterback, or that he didn't like. Blaine had a great game today. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, two touchdowns, had over 250 yards.
Career high in passing yards. Yeah.
Pretty good outing for him. Where we lost the game, points off turnovers. We settled for three. They got seven. Basically, the prevent defense in the last drive, 14 seconds left on the clock, trying to keep everything in front of you, trying to keep people from going out of bounds or allowing them to go out of bounds. Whether you should have tried to keep people from getting to the out pattern, keep the guys from running out patterns or whatever. They were just trying to keep things in front of them, and unfortunately, they allowed too much. They weren't playing tight enough coverage.
And by the way, give credit to Blair Walsh. You know, Georgia Bulldog rookie. 55 yards is, I mean, remember when Scobie kicked from 59 to win it? That was outdoors. That certainly is a higher degree of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was a must hit to tie it. I mean, he needed it. Missing this one, and they've lost.
We could do two big plays
for both teams. It's a makeable field goal. It is a makeable inside a dome, especially.
Clearly.
But
clearly it's makeable because it went in. He got it.
I told my friend before the game started, guys, I said it's going to be a 3-point ball game. I told him that before the game started. He's like, they should have went for it. The Jaguars should have went for it on the 1-yard line at the first drive when they settled for a field goal. And I said, Jim, you got to take the points if you're available. If you know you got a sure three, you got to take it.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that was the right call. No, I think that was the right call to put the three on the board. But again, the play that's going to haunt the Jaguars this week is that misconnection between, you know, Gabbert and Blackman, when Blackman was wide open.
Last comment. Hey, guys, we win this coming Sunday. We're in first place in the division.
That is true. That is true. Good point. I like it, Jerry.
Yes,
thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you like. That is true. Houston, the only team to win in the AFC South on opening day. And a victory, well, you'd be tied and have game in hand.
Yeah.
You know.
you have leg up in the division.
Listen, just being 1-1.
That'd be good.
You'd feel all right about it.
And you get a little respect by beating a team that everyone's looking at as being, you know, a potential Super Bowl attendee.
That's right, yeah. And probably as many people, I think, probably Baltimore probably has the most New England, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, Texans. Those are the teams you hear mentioned in terms of that.
AFC.
The AFC. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back to the phones. When we come back, 800-355-NFL1. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Time now for the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Marco, what do you have? On the carry of the day.
MJD had a real nice 11-yard run where he actually trucked this guy. That was one of the things I was really impressed about with MJD, is the way how physical he ran the ball. A couple times where some guys came in to tackle him, he lowered the shoulder and gave him the boom on the linebacker and the defensive back. But that one particular 11-yard run will be my carry of the day.
All right. By the way, getting word now that the Tampa-Carolina game has been delayed by lightning.
Whoa.
I don't know if Savannah State's involved in this one or not, but if you saw last night in Tallahassee, called it. Probably for the best for everyone, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. Savannah, they were waving the white flag.
Yeah, well, they were waving the green flag. It was the money they got paid by Florida State to come down there and play. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to the west side. Jody is up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard. So, Jody, how you doing?
Hey, who's that out there in them Jaguar uniforms anyway?
Hey there, Jody.
That is a whole different bunch out there. I'm real impressed with them. I know they got knocked off right there at the end, and I don't know what happened and why the defense melted down like it did, but I got a feeling they'll work the kinks out of that. But I'm guilty of being at work till almost halftime. Whatever became of Rashad Jennings? What happened to him?
Leg injury.
Back.
Yeah,
he never came back. Never. Knee. I thought it was. I think maybe a knee.
It looked like a knee. Then they officially called it a leg, which by the way would encapsulate the knee. So we look forward to getting some more information. I will say this: what we have noted here in the early stages of the Mike Mularkey regime is that the word on injuries. He's going to come from Mularkey and only from Mularkey. He's going to be honest. Oh. He's going to be honest about it, but he's not. But he's not going to divulge more unless you ask him. But I will say, so far, when he's been asked, he's been very honest about those injuries. At least it appears.
So he wants to wait until he knows the whole story and get it right. Then.
Yep. Right. Exactly. By the way,
I
want to break in here just a moment ago. The record, NFL record. For the longest field goal in history was just tied. David Akers of San Francisco, as the first half came to an end at Lambeau Field, booted one that hit the crossbar, bounced straight up, and came down over the crossbar. 63-yard field goal for David Akers.
David Green Akers.
kicking now, the longtime Eagles kicker, now kicking for the 49ers. Got it done, so it's 16-7 at halftime. I wanted to pass that bit of NFL history along to you.
Wow, I didn't know he had that kind of a leg.
Yeah, old man, still swinging.
Still
that thing.
Swinging it, yeah.
Wow. All right.
Oh yeah. That's a good kick.
Well, yeah. I think they got a lot. I think they got a few little kinks to work out. That defensive line is phenomenal, though, and stuff, you know. And the quarterback. Oh my God, Gabbert. Wow.
You know,
he's just growing right up.
Well, listen. When you have a better coaching situation, more stability, you expect a team to be better. I think it's clear this team is better. The question is, can they make those little plays to go from being a team that's improved to being a great, you know, being a playoff contender? That's one of the things that we're going to have to keep an eye on to see how it develops throughout the course of the year. Jody, thanks for the call.
Well,
I appreciate
it. There was some real flashes of brilliance there, so yeah.
Yeah, you want more than flat. You want constant brilliance. Obviously, that's what you're looking for.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. And have a tweet here, Marco. What about the fourth down call on the final play? Why? Some folks on Twitter are not particularly happy about calling a play that when you need 3 yards that worked downfield. I didn't have as big a problem with that play if they connect on it. I mean, you know, it wasn't like there was no chance to do it. I had a bigger problem with the third down play. If you need to keep a drive alive and you know you've got 2 downs to do it and 3 yards to get it, I would like to see run, give Maurice or whoever you're going to give it to at that point a chance to gain a couple yards so you at least have a little bit more of an option. Again, when you know it's 2 down territory or 4 down territory as it is, I like to see try to cut the difference in half or try a run, something that's got a chance on third down rather than throwing it.
Yeah, I have to think that they saw something pre-snap that thought that play was going to work as far as Gabbert is concerned. I don't think that they would have went through with that player. He would have went through if they would have shown that double coverage over there on Robinson at the beginning of the play. I think he thought he had single coverage because he had the first guy beat. This question, we can always go back hindsight. I have a big issue with that 30 seconds that was left on the clock, 37, before halftime. I think you left an opportunity to get a score at that point, prior to going into halftime. I really do.
All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Emmanuel on the north side, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Emmanuel, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, listen, guys, I got so much to say, but first of all, I want to say that Glenn Gabbert played a very good game. I have no problems with him. But what gets me is Gene Smith is a horrible drafter. The answer seems clear to me. We've never had any offensive line to protect our quarterback. I don't care if you put Jesus back there. If you have nobody to protect him, he's going to get sacked. And that's all we've been seeing over the last what, 10 years.
How many times did Gabbert get sacked today?
Twice.
None.
We got sacked twice.
Twice.
But the pass protection, he was rushed like crazy. I mean, he had the rushes, passes, and it's just ridiculous. I think Rasheed Mathis, I don't know why he still has a job. I can't understand it. I mean, does he have pictures of somebody? I cannot understand it. Why does he still have a job? He gets burned at every play. He doesn't tackle. He always shows up at the end of the play like he's going to do something. It's very frustrating watching him play.
I will say,
well,
that's not going to happen. But also, in just full disclosure here, Rasheen is again another one of these guys coming off an ACL, coming off knee surgery, you know, and they knew he was going to be limited. Played in nickel situations today, and with Derek Cox out, you know, they had to use him where they could use him. So,
okay.
You know, but you want to say, why does he still have a job? That's, you know, again, that's a, I think that's a little bit of a jump to conclusion kind of thing.
Well, finally, my last point is this. The press here in Jacksonville always makes excuses for this team. Maybe we should put a picture of a clown of the Jets in the clown, or the Jaguars in the clown car, like the Jets were in the clown car, and perhaps maybe they get some fire underneath and they win. Because you saw it, the Jets blew the Bills out today. I mean, these guys are always coddled.
I'm sorry. Do you think that the reason the Jaguars lost today is because
The Jaguars lost today is because they have horrible Gene Smith as a draft. And they continue to not beef up their offensive line and give the quarterback enough time to operate under, you know, under a pass situation.
Again,
that's the reason why. And I can't understand why.
Emmanuel, I got to tell you, buddy, you and I, again, I'm not saying that the pass protection was great today, but you had three different offensive linemen go down with injuries. You know, you're down to, you're in a situation where you're at, you know, playing with backups. But also, the real issue today was the Jaguars, when they had to make some plays, didn't stop Percy Harvin, didn't stop Adrian Peterson.
No, they didn't.
That's the biggest thing. And again, no Darryl Smith, no
Derek Cox
certainly had something to do with that. But the Jaguars need to tackle better. They need to cover better. And that's not the only reason they lost. But that was a much bigger issue than the pass protection was today.
And I'm going to tell you, the pass protection, I wish I would have calculated taking account of the amount of times that they blitzed Gabbert. And that's the whole intent, to get pressure on you. Now, if you're just rushing four, they handled that all day long.
Yeah.
The sacks were given by a linebacker got it and a defensive back. Those are blitzes.
On blitzes, yep.
Exactly. So as far as those guys blocking big, going big, they took care of that. It was those defensive backs that were coming where the running backs or tight end missed, or the linebacker coming where a running back or a tight end wasn't able to get. The offensive line, I thought they did well, especially against one of the best pass rushers. He was completely silent today.
Eugene Monroe just, you know, neutralized Jared Allen completely.
Handled.
There's no doubt about it. But don't.
6-10. 6-10. Sorry.
Well, we'll see how it plays out.
All right, guys.
And we'll do our best not to let the facts get in the way of a good story like that. Like Marco, I can't believe you would bring up that it was a linebacker and a defensive back who got the sacks today.
That's who got it.
How dare you do that? Totally ruined a good story there. All right, let's go to, is it Arjun on the south side? Arjun, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. I mean, how are y'all?
Good. What's
up, big man? How you doing?
I'm good. I just want to talk about Laurent Robinson. Why hasn't he been showing up?
He led the team in receptions today.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Five catches, 66 yards.
Come on, big dog. Where you at, baby? Did you fall asleep at some point during the game? Took a nap, dude.
I heard it was targeted in the beginning of the game, and that's all I watched. And, like, you know, he missed a couple passes.
Okay. Arjun, I'm going to make a rule. If you only watch the beginning of the game, no calling in with criticism. Doesn't work, my man.
No, and you know, I got in some of the preseason.
Preseason doesn't matter. The preseason is past. It's five catches, 66 yards today.
All right.
Anything else you'd like to ask about?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Do you know why our team does not draft any big name like people? Like, usually out of the second round, like, we draft people from the small colleges.
Okay.
Like,
you know, this year you got Blackman came from Oklahoma State.
State, yeah.
You got
I'm
our
talking
man.
About like late rounds.
Okay, second round was Andre Branch, late round guys, Clemson. Yeah, most third round was a punter from Cal.
Well, late round is when you want to take the chance on guys like that that are, you know, maybe from the smaller colleges because you're not, for one, you don't have to pay as much. You know, you don't put as much stock. But I think in the past few years, the guys that Gene has put the most stock into have come from the major schools. You know, you talk about Tyson
Alualu, Cal. You've got Missouri with Blaine Gabbert, Virginia with Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, these guys have come from big time. The guys that are major contributors, you know, that's where they at.
Arjun, I urge you to enjoy the entire game next week and then give us a call afterwards. All right, buddy?
All right,
sir. All right, 800-355-NFL-135. I'm happy to have the conversation, but again, facts tend to be a little bit of something you can't always, you know. What was it that John Adams said? Facts are stubborn things. Let's take time out. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. 800-355-NFL-1. We welcome calls from anybody who might have watched at least half the game. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea. Now just $1 at McDonald's any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Welcome back. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Have a tweet here. Question, what was your assessment of Alualu today?
He was getting pushed around. You know, this is something I've said since he's been here, is against the double team, he's not real stout. I think at a defensive end position, he did okay. But down there in the inside, you know, for me, you know, Alualu is a better pass rusher. He's better against the pass than he is
against
the run. I agree
with that. Yeah, as most three techniques probably would be.
You know, I mean,
usually the three tech is better at
the
pressure
field.
And the nose tackle is more of a run stuffer typically.
Yeah, but you see the teams they get more movement on him on the double team than the other guys. But there are a lot of three techniques that hold their ground a lot better than Alualu does. But against the pass, I mean, his energy level was outstanding. He's all over the field. But it's just at the point of contact, sometimes he gets a little lost.
Jaguars did not get a lot of pressure on Christian Ponder consistently. Did have two sacks. Again, not a lot. Mm-hmm. I would like to have seen a little more of Branch get some more pressure. But, again, rookie, first game, you know, your expectations are only so high.
Went against
high.
Number three. You got to see, what's his name, Khalil.
Yeah.
He was pretty stout. Right. He looked pretty good today.
Yeah, again, if you want to find somebody who is going to come in and start on opening day at tackle, you better get him early in the draft.
You got to get him early.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth round undraft. That doesn't really happen for a rookie. You can get guys you can develop, you know, through the years, like Bradfield, for instance. But
I thought Tyson was Terrence Knighton made a couple real strong, dominant plays. The sack cost fumble was really good, and that the penetration, he just slung the center to the side, made a nice tackle for a loss. He actually showed up a lot better. I wanted to see him be more dominant, a lot better than what he did during the preseason.
800-355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Matt in Avondale, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Matt, how you doing?
Great, fellas. How are you guys?
All right, man.
Good show. I tell you, you know, losses hurt, but this one felt better than they usually do. We so many positives, as far as I'm concerned, from what happened, you know. Blaine looked so much better than we've seen him, than he did last year. He continued to look like he has during the preseason. Blackman, Robinson, everybody's been calling for where's Robinson, there he is. I was excited, bummed out that we lost him. A little worried about what's going to happen with our season overall, but I don't know. Just try to talk me down and make sure I'm going to be all right.
No,
hey,
listen,
back away.
Matt,
away
I'm with you on this, that I really thought this was one of those games that the Jaguars could win. Next week's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. Houston's a very good team.
Right.
But if you look
right at
these first five games before the bye week, Indianapolis, certainly a winnable game, right? You got a rookie quarterback and a roster that's being rebuilt. Bengals,
right,
tough, but I don't think that's an unwinnable game here at home. And then the Bears, I know a lot of folks are really high on the Bears right now. I think they're a good team, but a home game against the Bears in October, which can certainly be hot here, I don't think that's an unwinnable game. So, again, it all depends on how healthy the Jaguars are going into those games. But this is one of those games I look at and say, boy, if they could win this one, even if they split their first two, they'd have a chance to have built something by the bye week.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's my biggest concern about the whole thing. It's just like, oh man, are we gonna end up, you know, 5-11 again? But I don't think so.
No, it's
and they look good.
Season. Yeah, it's a long season. And it's going to be several games that, you know, here during the course of these next 15 that they'll win that we didn't anticipate them winning, and also losing against some teams
just
like this one. That's just it.
Right.
So, you know, my view of the team hasn't changed. You know, even with this game, they played better. They look better than they did last season.
And listen, anybody who watched the game today, not just the first quarter, but watched the game today and cannot see that this team looks better than they did last year, isn't paying very close attention. So,
right.
Matt, appreciate the call.
All right, fellas, thanks.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Mike in Orange Park, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just want to say that I thought Blaine did a great job. The game, actually, it all boils down to the last 20 seconds. I don't understand why we didn't kick it either in the end zone or out of the end zone.
I'm with you.
We should be able to do that in a dome. Get them on the 20-yard line and stop them. I was screaming 1 minute and whining the next. Me and my wife both. We just jumped off the bed. We're howling and screaming, and then all of a sudden, what happened? Now, I don't understand that last section. That's really what counted. It doesn't really matter what happened before that.
Yeah, that again, I've mentioned, that drives me nuts when you have those kind of play, those kicks. Unless it's the last play of the half or the last play of the game, I would stay away from that.
Yeah,
kind
you
of
actually
kick.
Said something before they even kicked the ball off. I hate these squib kicks.
Yeah.
But not knowing whether they were going to do it or not.
Yep.
And there it is. They squibbed it.
and there it was. All right, Mike, appreciate the call. I'm with you on that one. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Michael in Fernandina is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
good.
Up, Michael?
Hey, I've heard some stupid comments today, and I just wanted to make I didn't watch just the first quarter.
Oh, good.
My biggest concern is I don't like how Coach Malarkey calls like 5 or 7 yard routes. I'm hoping since Gabbert has been doing, I thought the last two passes when he tied the game was he can't coach that. You know, when he hit Cecil Shorts, I can't remember who he hit, but the very first throw he hit in overtime was that Thomas or Shorts.
Must have been Shorts in overtime.
No, there was another one before we hit the touchdown pass.
Oh, you're talking about at the end of the he had Blackman on a 10-yarder on 4th-and-3 right before that.
Yeah, I mean that. There's only a few quarterbacks in the world that can throw those kind of balls. And then the one where he hit Robinson, where the defender couldn't even see the ball, it just popped right, went right into the pocket where only Robinson could catch it. And then he threw another frozen rope to Thomas, which, you know, he dropped it. But I see a promising quarterback in Gabbert. I saw him draw the defense off sides, 2 or 3 times again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, again, I think he's become he's not, again, not all the way there, but he's got more veteran-like traits that we've seen in the preseason and then today.
I didn't see any flinching. I didn't see any chuck and duck.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a man that he had a lot of pissed-off moments on his face when people were hitting him. You know, and
yeah, he played with a little chip on his shoulder a little bit today.
Yeah, I saw a boy last year. You know, he had his big eyes. You know, I'm new, I'm a rookie. This year, he's taking over the team. You know, and what would you rather have, a quarterback that threw 90 yards today or a quarterback that almost threw 300? I mean, I can't really blame him for seven passes being dropped. You know, Robinson has to catch those passes. Thomas has to catch them. That's what they're being paid to do. And I understand Gabbert has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. And my other comment about the other guy saying we draft bad. If we draft so bad, why did Jared Allen not get any sacks today? You know, I thought Terrence Knighton was good. We know how good Derek Cox is. I mean, he shut down, in the 6-7 games, he was shutting down like people like Torrey Smith only 30 yards. You know, you could see when Britton left the game, we were struggling to run after he left.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubt that injuries played a role today. There are a lot of fans who I think have decided that there's no call for having drafted a punter in the third round. All right, and that's going to be a hot point for some of these fans who are saying they should have drafted an offensive lineman because they should have known because they were thin there already.
You're not going to draft a right tackle or left tackle in a third round all the time.
You're not going to find one who's going to be ready day one. Now you can find one in the third round or fifth round or an undrafted guy who you can develop.
Mm-hmm.
But day one, you're not going to find a tackle who's going to be ready like that. It's just, you know, I'm certain you could comb the history of the NFL and find exceptions to that, but you're not likely to find them.
The first three picks of last year's draft, he addressed the needs of the team with
to
those
be honest
first three
with
picks.
You, I was looking at the kid from Clemson, the other tackle, the Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
When they started talking about Brian Anger, instead of raging on Facebook, because I laughed at all those people that were just crying, I actually looked up all his YouTube feed. I looked up all the scouting feed. And then even Wilcox said it today. Brian Anger was the number one punter in preseason. And I thought he did a great job today. I mean, he's another weapon for our defense, and it's a shame our defense didn't play that well today. We have a rookie. Did he play it right in today? Branch, did he play right
in? Yeah, he was in and out of right in. Yep.
All right, so he's trying to play against the left tackle. You know, Max Khalil's, you know, supposed to be a high prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have our best linebacker, who he wasn't even there to help guard against, you know, Adrian Peterson and Kyle Rudolph. Then our best cornerback wasn't there. Our best physical cornerback wasn't there. You know, I mean, if you took this offense and you put it into a close game like against the Bengals last year, we would have won that game. That's how much better I think our offense is. You take away the fumble, that's 7 points away from the Vikings. The game could have been 31-16. It could have went either way. And people are crying that we're losing. I see progression. You know, they're wanting a second-year quarterback to start throwing 400 yards. You know, I thought...
Well, again, Blaine said I had a very solid game today, a career high for yards passing today, 96 quarterback rating. Blaine Gabbert was not the reason this team lost.
No, it was
the offensive line was not the reason the team lost.
No, Monroe, the only time I heard from Jared Allen, to be honest with you, was when he jumped off sides and drew a flag. When he sacked, you know, when he did the false start.
Yep.
You know, not the false start, when he encroached Gabbert. That was the only time I heard from him. I thought Monroe, I didn't even really see him needing help. And when he played against Pierre Paul, I didn't hear his name all night until Gabbert fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
You
listen,
know, Monroe is progressed.
Yeah,
you
there's
know,
no doubt.
Huh?
There's no doubt about the progression that's happened. And I understand disappointment. I'm not saying you shouldn't be disappointed in losing a game like this. I'm just saying let's be accurate and let's diagnose it correctly. It's not Blaine Gabbert. Could he have played better? Absolutely. Is Blaine Gabbert the big talking point here? No. I mean, sometimes often the quarterback is, but this is not – Blaine Gabbert's not the big, look at this guy. He's terrible. No, that's not what happened today.
I really think the defense has got to play better.
Yeah, they've got to tackle better. Yeah. And I'd like to see him get more pressure.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be tough until they can get those two guys back. You still got to look at him and say, give him a little bit of a pass considering the significance of not having Darryl Smith and Derek Cox. And say what you want, Derek Cox is an outstanding cornerback. I think if he can just stay healthy, that is probably the biggest knock on him is his health. But when he's in there and he's healthy, he makes the world of difference also.
Yeah, and, you know, you can sit there and two and you talk about, well, Gene Smith drafted Evan Britton, he can't stay healthy, and Zach Miller, and he can't stay healthy, and Derek Cox, he can't stay healthy. None of these guys had injury histories. So, you know, what do you do? I mean, do you have to be a psychic and be able to tell the future to when a guy's going to get hurt? I mean, sometimes you can't show that.
You just can't control those.
Yeah, Rashad Jennings.
That was my deal. Can Rashad stay healthy during the course of this season?
Yeah, but see, can he stay healthy is about the pounding of the season, not in the first game in the first half. I mean,
right.
That's a whole different
situation. Fortunately, MJD came in, he's in and those things. But you still need a running back that can back up. I mean, not having Rashad will still hurt the team.
Note, as it did last year. 800-355-NFL1. Michael, thanks for the call. Let's go to Thomas on the south side. Thomas, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's
good.
Going on, Tom?
I believe the Jaguars gave their best, man, today. I'm real impressed with our team, man, and the progress that we got going forward. I think they played, they gave their heart out there. It looked like a whole different team from last year. And I'm buying season tickets this year. You know, I work at the game. I do security, but me and my kids, we're going to all the last five games.
That's what's up.
I kind of disagreed on when we drafted the punter, and then but when I seen Angerton stuff, I see that he better than Mac Turk, and you know, especially
no doubt about that. That's an easy call, better than what Turk was last year. But again, for everybody's information here, Anger averaged on four punts today 53.5 yards per punt. That if he does that all year, he leads the NFL.
And going to Hawaii if they go this year.
And you know, with the last drive when we should have kicked the ball deep, you know, and we shouldn't have played prevent. We should have played, gave them the inside pass instead of the outside pass. But you know, it's a tough loss. I'm glad that you know when you lose bad, we lost in overtime. We just got stuff to work on in practice. Instead of us winning things, we ain't got nothing to work on. We go and practice with more work to do.
Nope. Clearly, there's more work to do. Even when you win, there's more work to do. Thomas, I appreciate it. Love the all-in from the from the young fan. Love it. Let's get a couple more calls in here, then we'll wrap things up. Let's go to John on the south side. John, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, good, John.
Good. I just wanted to get your thoughts on If MJG would have held out for seven more days, he probably would have made about $10 million.
Oh, you think because we don't know the extent of the Jennings injury, but if Mojo had not been in there today, what would have happened? You're saying, in other words, they would have lost, and then I don't think one loss was going to make the Jaguars change their mind.
But what about the injury to Jennings?
Well, we don't know the severity of it.
That's true.
I mean,
that is true.
You know, we'll see. But
if it is long term, do you think that could rock the boat a little bit?
That's going to hurt MJD too. Also, because you look at the good running games, it's two guys. You might have a focal runner, but you got to have somebody still to come off and make some plays and give that guy a break. You know, even last year, I think MJD they spent their wheels with him. There was no guy to come in and help him out. You got to have another guy coming off the bench that can take a little bit of that load off to be successful in the latter part of the season.
That is true. Do you think that could be a distraction in the locker room now?
Oh, no. I mean, MJD, like I think I heard one of the players talk in one of the interviews, is he was a part of the team. You know, once he got there and, you know, got in the locker room, the only people that were talking about MJD just now getting in were people outside that locker room. After everybody said hello, gave him the hugs, good to see you, it's on the business as usual. Because it's not like it's a new guy that hasn't been there. He's loved in the locker room. Everybody likes him. He loves him. He's a leader on the team. I think that, you know, him showing up and playing was a big deal also.
I guess I didn't mean the locker room. I meant that he's going to say, hey, I should get paid now.
Oh, he's going to say that anyway.
I don't think he'll say that now.
No.
Why not? He's been saying it for the past 38 days.
Yeah, here's why. I'll tell you. I'm not saying he won't believe it. I'm saying I think he's decided, all right, it's over for now until the season's over. And so he's done with, with the process of trying to make more money, trying to negotiate, because the negotiation is over. After the season, might be another story.
I'll feel better when he shows up to practice on Monday.
He won't do it.
he isn't going to not show up to practice. Listen, if he doesn't play, he doesn't get paid, and he gets $200 and whatever it is, $41,000 a game under his current contract, and he's got an $800,000 fine to
Billy
pay.
Got
for.
Take care of
him. He's playing. Don't worry about that. All right, one more to wrap things up. Let's go to Travis in Orange Park. Travis, you'll be our final caller here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Travis. Sure.
Hey, I know I'll call you guys a little late, so I'm probably retouching on a couple subjects. But, man, we have got to get better pass rush and get that quarterback uncomfortable back there.
Yeah, and I think that, Branch is one guy who they hope to see develop that way. And I think their best pass rush foursome to have out there at the same time is having Mincy and Branch and Alualu and Knighton all the way out there along that front. C.J. Mosley also has a few moves, but I think he's more of a hunker-down kind of guy. But that's their best four-man rush. What I kind of expect to see more of is, and maybe not having Darryl Smith and Derek Cox affected this today, I think I expect to see more creative, you know, blitzes and different rush games, because I didn't see a whole lot of that today out of the Jaguars' defense.
Because, you know, once you blitz, now all of a sudden these guys are matched up man-to-man in there. So you got Bosworth that's out there. I don't think you really want to trust him too much having to cover somebody man-to-man. You got Middleton in there for Cox. So I think it was only the four-man rush because you had to leave everybody back to cover, because I don't think the coach was as confident with those guys in coverage as he would have been if Darryl Smith and Derek Cox were available. And even a healthy Rasheem Mathis. I think all those things came into play with the lack of blitz. And I had to say about the pass rush, you got to look at the type of passes that Minnesota was throwing. A lot of short passes, and a lot of times they max protect. They were kept in two tight ends. A lot of times they only left one guy one-on-one blocked, and they weren't able to get that one-on-one win. But a lot of max protection also on Minnesota's part.
Travis,
my last thing real quick, guys. Yeah. I think it's a pretty good season. I think the offense looks great. I think the defense will get it together, and I think we're the team that Texas had to beat this year, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think this is a better team. And again, it's just one game, but if you looked at this game today and didn't see that this is a better team than last year, then either you weren't watching last year or you only watched one quarter this year. Travis, thanks a lot for the call. All right, next week, Jaguars are home to take on the Houston Texans. It is a 1 o'clock kick. We'll take the air at 10 o'clock with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show. Come on by and say hi. Again, this week, right here, you can pick up the Mike Mularkey Show tomorrow night at 6. Then on Tuesday, John Osher joins me as we bring you Jaguars reporters, 6 o'clock as well. And then on Wednesday, Jaguars This Week will be coming to you from Latitude 30. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Tony Baselli, the whole crew at Latitude 30. So should be a big time this week. Go on out, say hi, and watch the show and try to figure out what Osher's doing. Jaguars lose the opener in disappointing fashion. There are some positives to take out of this game, including the improved play of the quarterback. But 0-1 of the NFL is still 0-1. The Jaguars try to bounce back next week. Good night from Jaguar Central.